So how about we start off with a word of prayer? Father, thank you so much that you're here. Thank you for your presence. And just like Chris Dupree said, even before worship started, his presence is already here. We just got to enjoy it. And Father, we thank you that you are here. We thank you for your presence. And even as we continue to enjoy your presence, that you are sitting next to us, you are closer than our skin. Father, I thank you, Lord, that you are here. And Father, as we sit here, I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would open up our hearts, open up our minds, open up our hearts to receive your word and our minds to understand it, Father. And I pray that you would even stir up in our hearts that we would not only be hearers of the word, but we would be doers. Father, I pray that you would activate our spirit man, that whatever we are to explore today in your word, that Father, it would stir us up to run forward, to do the things that you are calling us to do. And Father, I pray that your words would be spoken today, your agenda, your thoughts, your desires, Father. And I thank you. Let your kingdom come. Let your will be done this morning. In Jesus' name. Amen. Oh, God is so good. I'm so excited. Okay. So we are doing a series on the theme that God has given us for 2011, which is Love Our City. And I know when we launched the theme on January 2nd, we had so many of you come up to not only Sam and I, but to Steve and Sandra, saying how excited you were for what God is going to do. And Love Our City is such an incredible theme because it taps into what God has placed in each one of our hearts, which is not to just love Jesus within four walls, but to love him outside of the church, right? And in our communities, in our schools, in our workplaces and beyond. And it's such an exciting thing. I pray, my prayer for each one of us, including myself, is that Love Our City wouldn't turn into a cliche in 3 months, right? That rather it would continually be like the fire that God places in our heart to not just peak really high and then crash, but to have a steady growth in learning what it means to love our city, learning what it means to pray for our city, learning what it means to put down roots and to share God's love to those who don't know him yet, right? And so today, our theme for today is continuing on with Jeremiah 29:7 and the prayer part, right? Praying for our city. So how about we turn to Jeremiah 29:7, and let's just begin there so we know what verse we're talking about. Jeremiah 29:7. A lot of you know this Jeremiah 29:11. It's a very famous passage that talks about, you know, for I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, the plans to prosper you, to give you hope and a future. And what we don't realize that before that epic verse, God is talking about to his people who are in exile, who are in Babylon, who are in a godless land, you know, a land where the king hires astrologers and magicians and the occult as his number one advisors. You know, this is a dark, dark city in a dark time, in a dark period for the children of Israel. And yet what God is saying in the beginning of Jeremiah 29 is, hey, I am here, you know, get settled, plant vineyards, build houses, marry your sons and daughters, and multiply, grow. And then he says in verse 7, seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you into exile and pray for its welfare, and for you will have welfare. For in its welfare, you will have welfare. Amazing. Again, read that again. Seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you and pray to the Lord on its behalf. For in its welfare, you will have welfare. Wow. This is a command with a promise, right? God loves to partner with his people. When we look, the whole Bible is filled with stories upon stories where God partners with his people to see his glory manifest here on earth. Do you know that you experiencing his glory brings him great joy, right? It's like one of those things where, for instance, with Moses in the Red Sea, God could have easily split open the Red Sea without Moses putting out his rod, right? He doesn't need a stick pointed out in order for his miraculous to be manifest. But no, God wanted to partner with Moses. He wanted to partner so that not only can Moses see God's glory, but the children of Israel would see his glory. That he's, hey, this is a God who loves to partner with me to see his kingdom here on earth. And here's the thing, God has such a desire to see his kingdom manifested and exploding in each one of our cities, be it Toronto, Brampton, Vaughan, Mississauga, Scarborough, wherever we're from. He has such a heart for our cities. God is looking for those of us who are willing to intercede for it. In Ezekiel 22, chapter 22, verse 29 to 30, it reads, "The people of the land practiced extortion and committed robbery. They oppressed the poor and needy and mistreated the foreigner, denying them justice. I looked for someone among them who would build up the wall and stand before me in the gap on behalf of the land so I would not have to destroy it, but I found no one." Now, this is in Ezekiel, and this is before Jesus came to make the way to the Father. Here's the thing. How many of you know there's still injustices being done in our own backyards, right? I know some of you who live in a safe neighborhood, but two or three streets down, there's drug addiction, there's prostitution, there's homelessness. Right? There's so much injustice in our cities, and God sees it, and his heart cries out. And yet his desire is to partner with us to see his kingdom come. So what is he looking for? He's looking for someone, one of his amazing sons and daughters, his bride, to stand in the gap. And he is calling each one of us to do so. And I know this is also your heart, but in my heart, I always have this heart's cry when I talk to the Lord. I'm like, God, don't pass me by. If you're looking for someone to partner with, pick me. I'm here. Here I am, Lord. Send me, you know. Let me be your mouth. Let me be your eyes. Let me be your hands. Let me be your feet. Send me. And the Lord is seeing the hearts of each one of you that says, yes, God, I want to partner with you. I know there's so much more that you have for me to experience. I know you don't have me on this earth to do a 9-to-5, to get my paycheck, to go home, to eat, to sleep, and do it all over again. I know you've called me on this earth for so much more. I know you've called me on this earth to experience the supernatural. I know you've called me on this earth to experience heaven on earth, because you know I'm going to experience heaven for all eternity. But for this short amount of time, God, I know you have called me to partner with you to see greater works than Jesus. Greater works than these come to pass in my own city. And it's interesting because even when there was so much injustice, there was robbery, there was oppression going on, that God's desire was to see salvation, right? Even in injustice, God doesn't think, man, where's my ball of fire? I'm going to blow up downtown, or I'm going to blow up, you know, that, you know, prostitution house. His heart is for salvation. His heart is for that. Those individuals who are crying out, he sees their brokenness. He says, hey, I am the God who comes to heal the brokenhearted, to set the captives free, to declare freedom and liberty to the prisoners. That's his heart for us. And his desire, despite the enemies, which is to steal, kill, and destroy, God's desire for us in our cities is to see his abundant life manifested. Amen. You know, it shows Jesus' heart in Luke chapter 6, verse 27 and on. And I know we don't have the time to delve into every scripture verse, so if you want to just mark them down, feel free to do so and go home and read them. It's so amazing. But in Luke chapter 26 onward, Jesus, it displays his heart, right? It's the part where Jesus says, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. Whoever hits you on the cheek, offer them the other also. And whoever takes away your coat, do not withhold your shirt from him either. Give to everyone who asks of you. And whoever takes what is yours, do not demand it back. Treat others the same way you would want them to treat you, and even further. That just shows the heart of God. It just shows that when he sees brokenness, he doesn't want to break further. When he sees brokenness, his heart is to heal. His heart is to bring to new life. It's amazing how Jesus' heart of love is displayed in this greatest commandments, right? First one, love the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, your soul, your strength. Second greatest commandment, love your neighbor as you love yourself. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. And how many of you know that one of the best and greatest ways to love your neighbor is to pray for them? I know some of you are like, you really want me to pray for that neighbor with that horrid dog that barks in the middle of the night? Yes, God has a heart for your neighbor who has a horrid dog who barks all the way in the night. It is good. Some examples of how prayer rescued a city, or God stirred up the hearts of his people to pray for a city, is Abraham. We see that in Genesis 18, verse 20 and beyond. How the Lord came to Abraham and said, hey, you're one of my buddies, you know. I love you, Abraham. We're close. And I'm going to share with you what I'm about to do. The sins of Sodom and Gomorrah are crying out to me, and I'm going to go check it out. And if it is just as I see it, I am going to have to destroy. And Abraham interceding, standing on the gap of Sodom and Gomorrah, beseeched the Lord for his mercy. And he went from 50. He's like, Lord, will you still destroy a city with 50 righteous? And the Lord said, okay, well, if there's 50 righteous, I won't destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. And Abraham, knowing there wasn't 50 righteous, talked the Lord down all the way to 10 people. There's, you know, 10 people could be one immediate family. How many of you have like 7 brothers and sisters? Anybody? Christine Kennedy has 7 brothers and sisters. Yeah, I see a few hands. That's just one family. He's saying, hey, if there's just one righteous family within 2 cities known for its wickedness, will you spare it? And guess what the Lord said? I absolutely will spare it. Unfortunately, Lot's family was only 4. And so what the Lord did was he rescued Lot and his daughters and got him out of the city before he destroyed it. But can you imagine that God's heart? He's like, twist my rubber arm, please. You know, my heart is to deliver. Just ask me. Just ask me. Won't you just stand in the gap and I will say yes. Just ask. Just intercede. Just carry my heart and ask me and I will say yes. No? Another example of this is Hezekiah in Isaiah 37. It talked about Hezekiah prayed for a city when it was surrounded by their enemies and it was saved. Right? Some more examples. Jonah, the stubborn prophet. Some of you are like, I can totally relate. That's okay, because you're going to experience miracles too, right? But Jonah, when God told Jonah to tell Nineveh that he was going to destroy Nineveh, not only did Jonah not want Nineveh to be saved, he wanted Nineveh destroyed, but God took this stubborn heart and gave him a desire to pray and fast for its salvation, right? And so as he's waiting for the city of Nineveh to be destroyed after he went around the city for 3 days, calling them to repent, God heard his prayer, even though he was a reluctant prayer, right? And saved Nineveh. Nineveh came to know Jesus. And Steve talked about that on January 2nd, how Nineveh was a huge metropolitan area, so huge in that day, and was so full of wickedness, and yet God loved the people, and he rescued them and saved them. You know, in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, it says, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly realms. Okay, so what this verse isn't talking about, it's not talking about, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, a.k.a. Obama. No, God is talking about the evil rulers, talking about sin and Satan and the struggle against evil, spiritual warfare, right? He's not talking about our physical leaders. He's not talking about Harper. He's not talking about our mayor, Doug Ford. Nope, Rob Ford. That's right. Doug Ford, by the way, for those of you who are who call Catch the Fire Airport your home church, Doug Ford is our city councilor for this church. So no matter where you live, pray for Doug, right? I actually met him I was working at WestJet, and I checked him in. He was a very, very nice man, very nice. let me give you a verse which is so phenomenal. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1 to about 6. I'm going to read this out. Feel free to turn to it or write it down in your notebook. It says, I urge you then, first of all, that petitions, prayers, and intercession and thanksgiving be made for all people, for kings and all those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in godliness and holiness. This is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants all people to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and mankind, the man Jesus Christ, who gave himself a ransom for all. This has now been witnessed at the proper time. When we pray for our city, what happens is God begins to enlarge our hearts and begins to give us transplants. He begins to transplant our eyes from our physical eyes to his eyes. He begins to transplant our hearts, to transplant our hearts for his hearts. He begins to transplant our feet and our hands and our mouths to be in line with who he is. He gives us vision and strategy on how to pray for our cities. It's amazing how in Nehemiah, the book of Nehemiah, the whole book of Nehemiah is such a picture of this. In the first chapter of Nehemiah, Nehemiah hears of what is going on in Jerusalem and prays to God for their salvation. And what does God do? He completely restores the people of Israel to their homeland. And that's when they start coming out of exile. Even Daniel began to pray into the prophetic words over Israel in Daniel, where Nehemiah is the culmination and the fruition of those prophetic words. And I did talk about praying for our authority. I want to read another verse for you. In Romans chapter 13, verse 1 to 2, it says, every person is to be in subjection to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and those who exist are established by God. Therefore, whoever resists authority has opposed the ordinance of God, and they who have opposed will receive condemnation upon themselves. Wow, that's powerful. 1 Peter 2, verse 13 to 17 says, submit yourself for the Lord's sake to every human institution. Everyone say human institution. Oftentimes we use that word as like a human institution, you know. But we forget that God is in complete control. How many of you know that everything happening in the world today, including all the international affairs, all that's happening in the international sphere and in our domestic sphere, is all lining up with end time prophecy? How many of you know that? No matter how much a ruler or an authority defies God, he is falling into God's plan. Isn't that phenomenal? So when we realize that, when we recognize that, we're no longer living in fear and in this place of being on the defensive, we realize, hey, God, what are you doing? How can I partner with you? How can I speed up the return of the Lord? How can my spirit and the bride cry out, come, Lord Jesus? What can I do, Lord, to partner with you? How awesome is that? 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 7 says, pray without ceasing. So, how do we pray without stopping for our city? And I was asking God for this because there are some of you who are intercessors. That is a gift that God has placed in you. And some of you, it is also a gift that you have honed through years and years and years of interceding before the Lord. Praise God. My mom is one of those people, and I sometimes say to my mom, Mom, I can't wait to go to heaven and see the multitudes of people behind you that God has used your intercession to rescue, to bring to know him, all that I will discover of what your prayers have done here on planet Earth. And I say that to each one of you who are intercessors. Thank you, God, for each one of you. And I can't wait to see how God will be glorified when all that you have prayed for becomes revealed, right? How awesome. But God, not all of us can say we can pray for 5 hours in a row. Some of you are like, oh, I can barely remember to pray for my meal. Lord Jesus, forgive me. Help me to pray. Well, the good news is this. God loves to give us the desires of our heart. So if you can even right now in your seat say, Lord, I choose to have a desire to pray. God will not only give you a desire to pray, he will give you the ability and the gift to pray, right? So, Father, give each one of us a desire to pray. Give us a desire to partner with you. Open up our eyes to recognize that every time we partner with you in the secret place, miracles happen. Miracles happen. So, Father, I pray that you would stir in each one of our hearts a desire and a love and a passion to pray and to partner with you in Jesus' name. It's amazing because so oftentimes we don't realize all the opportunities given us to pray. And the Lord began to give me really fun ways to pray for our city without ceasing, right? How many of you know that most of the time when God calls us to pray in the Bible, it's always partnered with thankfulness? Have you ever noticed that? With thankfulness and supplication, let your requests be made known to God, right? It's always come in thankfulness, pray. Pray with a heart of thankfulness. There's always that partnership. You can't have one without the other. So how many of you ever realized that when we pray with the heart of complaining, we are praying on a reactionary place? We're playing out of a place of reaction. We're playing out of a place of being on the defensive. But when we begin to pray with the prayer of thankfulness, we step into the offensive. We step into proactive zone. We step into God's zone. We step into the supernatural when we begin to pray in thankfulness. And the reason why I brought up authority is because for those of us, maybe it's just people in the world. Maybe it's not people in the church. But I'm just going to throw it out there. We often complain about those in authority, right? Even if, for me, the chair of the TTC, I'm like, oh, why can't he get anything right? Why is he constantly putting up the prices of tokens and affairs and nothing's being changed, you know? It's so easy to bark and get upset about those in authority in our cities and in our country. And yet God is saying, hey, no, I'm not asking you to complain. I'm asking you to pray. I'm asking you to intercede. I'm asking you to pray for Hurricane Hazel. I'm asking you to pray for your mayor. I'm asking you to pray for Rob Ford. I'm asking you to pray for those in authority in your life. And God is calling us to almost have a heart shift where we end up turning complaining into prayer. Do you know that if all we were to do was to turn our complaints into a prayer, we would very easily pray without ceasing? That says something about our complaining, right? Let's turn our complaining into a prayer. How about this? How about when you get a traffic ticket? Or when you get a parking ticket? My mom, bless her heart, she is probably the safest driver on the streets. By safe, I mean she likes to drive 80 on the highway. Maybe not so safe, but she's a very cautious driver. You will never, ever see my mom with a speeding ticket, ever. You'll never see my mom have a ticket for any type of infraction, except there have been times where she's had an anointing for parking tickets. And I don't know what it is. And because my mom isn't so internet savvy, she gives them to me, and she gives me cash, and I pay them online for her. So I'm always aware of when she gets a parking ticket. And it's so funny because she would give it to me and be like, oh my gosh, I can't believe I got another parking ticket. I'm so upset. I can't believe this. Like, how come those cops are so on the ball? Like, you know, she says all this in Korean. It's really funny, right? And she's like, how come they're everywhere? You look 1 second and there's no police officers there, and then you go away for 10 minutes and you come back and there's a ticket. And he's like, oh, how is this possible? And it was amazing because my heart broke because my mom's heart was broken, and she was feeling like a lot of money was going into parking tickets. And the Lord just gave me a little heart shift. He like literally turned the dial. And all out of my mouth I heard, Mom, don't think of it as, oh my gosh, I can't believe I have to pay another parking ticket. Think of it as giving the city of Toronto an offering. Right? Think of it as blessing the city of Toronto. We're broke. Praise God, we get to give a $20 offering to the city. You know? And that seriously transformed her heart. It's like, wait a minute, okay, I'm not so upset anymore that I got parking tickets. I get to bless the city of Toronto. We bless you, city of Toronto. Every time we pay parking ticket, we bless you, city of Toronto, to use that $40 for the kingdom of God, you know? Amen. Turn it into a blessing. Turn it into prayer, right? How about road rage, you know, the frustrating, you know, I'm almost really glad that I don't have my license. Yes, it's true. I'm a 29-year-old adult that still does not have her driver's license. That's okay. I tend to have road rage. Sam will tell you. Not road rage in terms of, like, explicatives, but my explicatives are like, oh, so that stupid Pontiac, you know, I get so mad. And one day, God was like, Linda, do you know that you're speaking curses over someone I love? And I was like, whoa, I did not think of that. I think of it as a really annoying moving aluminum box, right? You know, like, you don't think of it as the driver that's in there that God loves. And so he said to, and so he began to challenge me to turn it around. And so when I was driving, because I still had my learners and I let my learners expire, that's why I don't have my license. But when I'd be driving and I'd have the temptation to say, stupid Pontiac, I end up saying, I bless you, Pontiac. I bless you, Pontiac. I bless you to be a great driver. I bless you. And I want to challenge each one of us. You know, if we were to turn curses into blessings, our commute home would be the most anointed commute home ever, right? We're full of a blessing and prosperity and speaking life into those around us. And I want to challenge us. Let's have a heart shift. Let's allow God to give us a heart shift to begin to pray for those around us instead of cursing. You know? Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Another one I know that I struggled with was in around where Sam and I live, there's a lot of psychic houses. Right? And every time I see one of those, something in me cringes and I feel like, wah, you know, my cross of Jesus, get away from me, don't come near me, you know, like gross, you know, and I try and like do like the wide turn in the sidewalk, you know, and try to like stay away as much as possible. And I'm like, and it's so easy for me to just judge and just have this heart of like, blah. And yet again, God challenged me on that too. He said, Linda, do you know I love that one? I love that one so much. And I love those who come to their doors to try and find readings and spiritual guidance because they're hungry for me, right? And I was sitting at one of my favorite Starbucks's, and I was sitting by the window. You know, it's so picturesque. I got my coffee, my journal, my Bible, and sitting by a window. You know, it's just, you know, perfect picture and perfect time with God. And I look out the window, and there's a psychic house right there. And I'm like, oh, you're ruining my perfect moment. You know, I had a really beautiful moment here. And the Lord started speaking to me about them. And I realized, I'm like, God, no, forgive me for every way I have come in the defensive, right? And come as a reactionary where I'm complaining, cross of Jesus, right? I'm like, stay away. And God was like, no, I want to challenge you to pray for them. And it was amazing because that coffee moment that I wanted for myself and just, you know, to have me and Jesus date time began to be me and Jesus, let's call the kingdom of down to earth time. Right? And so we begin to pray. I began to pray for that person. God, I thank you that they're so hungry for the supernatural. I thank you that their eyes of their spirit man are open. And I pray that you'd give them visions and dreams, that you would appear to them in the night. Father, that you would just give them revelations of you and who you are. Jesus, I bless them to see an open vision of you and to hear your voice and to be transformed right in the den of darkness. And I bless that house, that house is used for the things of the occult to be used for your kingdom. You know, let's turn it around. Let's turn it around for the kingdom of God. Amen? It says in Philippians 4:6, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Huh, amen. I want to just even say, like, Arthur Burke has this amazing teaching. And for those of you who don't know Arthur Burke, phenomenal man of God with Pipeline Ministries, and he God has given Plumline Ministries. Plumline, yes, yeah, perfect. Plumline Ministry, and God has given amazing revelation on things of our spirit man, right? But one of the things that he really challenged us with, he came to one of our pastoral retreats, and something they said really stuck with me. He said, if you pay property taxes, how many of you own land and pay property taxes? Do you know that you have authority over your city because you pay property taxes? You own a part of that city. In any area where we have ownership, we can call down the kingdom of God. We have authority over that land. And how many of you know that because you pay taxes, instead of being like, those darn taxes, I can't believe I have to pay them. Every year the government steals from me. You can say, God, I am willingly giving to my city because I want to see my city prosper. I want to see your kingdom come. I want every single dime of my property tax to go into seeing your kingdom advance in my city. I want every single nickel, I want every single penny to be used to see people's hearts melt to when they hear your word, to your people's hearts to be open to hear about Jesus and to hear the gospel. I bless my city to be white, ripe with harvest as I give my property tax in Jesus' name. Amen. If you see prostitution in your area, if you see homelessness, if you see drug addiction, say, God, I thank you that because you have placed me here in this jurisdiction where I'm paying property tax in this place, I thank you that you have called me to be a light right here, right now, and become an evidence of your kingdom here on earth. And I speak into the prostitution. I speak into homelessness. I speak into poverty. I speak into drug addiction. And I say, leave. Leave my community, leave my city, leave in Jesus' name. We bind you, and Father, we ask you that you would call forth those that you are partnering with me, even myself, to see that glory come to pass. Amen. 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 And you know what else is really exciting about this whole praying thing is Romans 8:26. And I know for myself as well, I sometimes have, you know, my heart gets stirred to pray, and you can't stop me even if you tried. But then there's also times where I have nothing to say. I'm kind of stumped. I'm totally stumped as to what to pray. And Romans 8 verse 26 says, in the same way, the Spirit also helps our weakness. I love that. For we do not know how to pray as we should. But the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. Amen. I want to challenge each one of us here in this room that if we are at a loss for words, and sometimes we will be, whether it be out of pure being flabbergasted with what we're seeing or out of sorrow or out of a feeling of like, God, I feel so small in such a big problem, bust out your tongues. Bust out the tongues. Begin to pray in tongues. Because guess what? Holy Spirit knows exactly where the bullseye is. He knows exactly how to pray. And when we allow him to pray and partner through us and with us, when we begin to pray in tongues, we have no idea what's happening in the spiritual realm. Right? Let's just begin to pray in tongues and speak into the spiritual realm using spiritual language. Right? It's so exciting. It's so awesome. And I want to even challenge each one of us that when God calls us to pray, he says that for when the city prospers, you will prosper. And it's amazing how God, how should I say this? He calls us to die to ourselves and to live for Christ, right? And he calls us to not live according to our selfish ambitions, but to live for others. And yet God knows that with human nature, there's always that little bit of selfishness involved, right? There's always that little bit of, at the end of the day, what if my, I want, at the end of the day, my kids are a priority. At the end of the day, my wife is a priority. At the end of the day, my husband's a priority. At the end of the day, my welfare is a priority. And he knows that. And I really, truly believe that there is a huge part of that that is totally godly. And yet, through this verse, he uses that, even that, to call us to a higher place. Because what he's saying is, if the city prospers, you will prosper. You're not missing out. You're not losing out by praying for the city. You're not sacrificing and having zero return when you pray for the city. We can never outgive God. No matter how much we want to give to him and give to him and give to him, what he's saying is all you're doing is you're piling up interest and I'm going to flood it back in your face and bless you and your generation and your children's children, right? So no matter what we can do, no matter how much we pour out our hearts before the Lord on behalf of others, what God is saying is it's going to come right back and bless you. Right? So when he calls us to pray for a city, remember, you're not just praying for Hurricane Hazel. You're praying for your children's children. Right? When you're praying for Doug Ford and for Rob Ford, you're not just praying for some stranger you only see on TV or a picture that you only see. You're praying for your family. You're praying for your business. You're praying for all of those around you. You're praying for your community. You're praying for yourself. And I want to just say, what an encouragement is that? That God is saying, I never forget you. I never, ever, ever forget you. And one more thing. I know Mary Audrey will probably touch on this next week. But I also want to challenge each one of us that not only do we pray for our city, but to also be stirred up in our hearts to do something about it. Right? There's always an aspect where God not only wants to give us the strategy, he also wants us to walk it out and to see it happen. And I know with Love Our City, one of the biggest hopes is that not only will we pray for the city and love our city, but that we would do it in practical ways. And I know even for myself and Sam, like, we haven't been able to do enough research at this point right now to find areas that we want to serve and we want to pour into. But my heart and my goal, and you can keep me accountable to this, is that in a couple months' time that Sam and I will make it a regular part of our lives to serve in an area of our community. You can keep me accountable. Come February 20th, you can ask me, Linda, what are you and Sam doing in loving your community? Whether it be the food bank, whether it be, you know, a women's shelter, which I have such a heart for because part of my testimony has been God rescuing us through women's shelters, you know? Whatever it is, whatever area that God has put on your heart, go for it. Go for it. Amen? How about we just pray? Holy Spirit, I thank you that you have given us powerful weapons. Powerful, powerful weapons. Weapons that can bring life or death in situations. I thank you, Father, that you have put a giant sword of the Lord in our hands. That you have us clad in spiritual armor where we look like kings and queens of the kingdom of God, dressed in royal military garb, where we have the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, the belt of truth, the shoes of peace, the shield of faith, and the sword of the word of God. I thank you that we are dressed for battle. We are not dressed for couch potatoing. We are not dressed for being on the defensive. We are dressed for battle and to see your kingdom advanced here on earth as it is in heaven. And Father, I thank you that a part of our artillery is prayer. I thank you that a part of the effectiveness that you've called us to is to see your kingdom come and your will be done from our own bedroom. How awesome is that? That's the best thing possible, Father. And I pray right now, Lord, that you would begin to stir in each one of our hearts a desire and an almost like a need to pray. Father, I pray that we would partner with you. And when we pray, that we wouldn't see what our physical eyes see, but you will see, you will give us eyes to see beyond it, Father. You give us eyes to see, ears to hear, and hearts to understand what you have in store for our cities and for our leaders and for those around us. Father, I pray that when we drive by church buildings, that we wouldn't say, oh, I wish they can come with me to catch the fire. But you would say, Lord, fill that church with more believers from our community. Fill that church. Bless them, God. Bless them, Lord, because they are a part of your body. They are a part of the bride. And Lord, we bless this church in Jesus' name. And we bless Catch the Fire in Jesus' name. And Father, I pray that you would give us desires and hearts that will have shift, God, from complaining to a blessing, from complaining to praying, to interceding. Father, when we drive through dangerous neighborhoods in our city, instead of avoiding it or doing the wide turn, that we would go boldly through it and proclaim your kingdom in the darkest parts of our cities, God, in the darkest parts of our communities. Father, I pray that you would give us opportunity to see the blind with eyes open, the deaf hear, and the lame walk, both physically and spiritually, in Jesus' name. And Father, I ask you, Lord, that you would forgive us. And let's just put our hands before the Lord. Father, I ask that you would forgive us. And if you want to stand, let's stand. Let's make this a declaration. Father, I ask you right now in the name of Jesus that in all the areas, as powerful children of God, we stood on the defensive. Without recognizing the authority that we carry, without recognizing the weighty anointing our words carry, that, Father, we have complained instead of blessing. Father, will you be just forgive us and wash it clean. Wash us clean, Father. Holy Spirit, don't let us off the hook. I pray, Father, that every time a complaining wants to come out, that, Father, you would say, turn it around. Turn it around to be a blessing. Turn it around for the offensive. Turn it around to be proactive in the kingdom of God. Turn it around for a weapon in the kingdom of God to see here your kingdom advance, to bless those around us. And Father, I pray in the name of Jesus that we as children of God, will see your city come to know you, Father. Your city to come to know you. Father, I thank you for exactly where you've placed each one of us, that not a single one of us is where we are by accident. That, Father, you have placed us strategically. And, Father, I pray that I, Linda Duncombe, and my husband, Sam Duncombe, would be effective in what you've called us to be exactly where we are in Jesus' name. And we call for each one of your children to be effective in where you've called us to be in Jesus' name. How about we turn to two or three people, and let's just intercede and pray for one another and say, I bless you. I bless you to pray for the city. I bless you to walk in intercession for the city. I bless you to love the city through prayer. I bless you to see the kingdom of God come through your prayers, through your secret place. I bless you to see prayer answers to prayers, areas where you've been praying for months and months, that you would begin to see them come to fruition. I thank you, Father, that you have called us not only to pray, but to see the answers to the prayers. I thank you that you've called us to be glorified in you and through you and see your glory in our city. Father, I thank you. I bless Brampton. I bless Mississauga. I bless Toronto. I bless Vaughan. I bless Woodbridge. Father, I bless the entire GTA. Father, I bless Ajax. I bless Newmarket. I bless Pickering. Father, I bless where you have placed us. I bless the cities where you've called us. I bless them, Father. I thank you that you have so much in store for our cities. I thank you that Toronto and the GTA and Canada will be a shining light of your glory, will be a shining light of your goodness, will be a shining light of your kingdom here on this planet as it is in heaven. Father, we thank you that you've called us not to sit back and watch those suffering and those hurting and oppressed, but you've called us to set them free. And Lord, we call forth a spirit of prayer, a spirit of prayer to be birth in each one of us, God, to desire more of you and all of you, and to not be satisfied until we see your kingdom come here on earth as it is in heaven. Thank you, Lord, for the prophetic words that you have placed over our cities. Thank you, Father, for the ancient wells that you are about to dig up. Father, we thank you for the prophetic that you have birthing even now. And so, Father, we say yes and amen. Yes and amen. Yes and amen to your plans. We say yes and amen to your will. We say yes and amen for what you have for our city in Jesus' name. So be it, Lord. So be it, Lord. Come, Lord Jesus. Yeah, woo. Ha, thank you, Father. Oh, do it, Jesus. Do it, Jesus. In your name we pray, amen. Keep praying if you want to pray. Give those around you a big hug. We'll see you next week for another amazing word from Mary Audrey.